broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 27th of the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 202, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We believe the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America is the answer. The checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by our founders, brilliant, to say the least. We don't need a revolution. They rarely turn out well. Go study history. But a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly is in order. What do? Well, we live good, honest, moral lives, and we use pure application of the principles that our founders gave us to return to America's former greatness. It can be done, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. All right, welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Crosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Did you have a great weekend?
Yeah, really nice, I thought.
All right, well, I like that.
Family country kind of weekend. How about you?
Same. Promotion of God, family, country, protection of life, liberty, property. It was just a marvelous weekend for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
All right. Let's see here. I guess Donald Trump's in the news. We finished the last hour talking about the Donald. And a lot of people believe that, man, Donald's just tearing it up. I mean, Donald's just against the establishment, buddy. He's just railing against the machine, and people don't know what to do with him. And Fox loves him. CNN hates him. Murdoch to Fox. Don't help Trump. GOP's nightmare would be running an independent Donald Trump. Don't push him too hard away from the Republican Party, because, man, he'll start a third party, and all that would be a nightmare. And everybody's all up in arms about Donald Trump as if he would be a real, problem or whatever. And all I'm telling you is I'm not convinced all this stuff's real, Kurt. I think it's political theater. Trump has always had very political statements. Trump has always been in the mix. Everything he says has been incendiary for a long time. He brings up a common sense issue that you and I would agree with, Kurt. But the problem is when he brings these polarizing issues up, he does it in such an extreme manner to where even if he has a lot of common sense things to say about something, the delivery just puts it into absolute lightning rod mode, if you will. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's just so politically charged that even common sense issues are untouchable after the Donald gets done with them. Now, a lot of the American people are liking his statements, but I'm telling you that he's polarizing as all get out, and I don't really see what he's accomplishing of value, Kurt. Now, go ahead, on the other hand.
Well, the thing that, at least in my opinion, that I appreciate from what I can see that he sort of does, and, you know, I agree there may be behind the scenes of, you know, agreement. You know, in most times in politics, that's what you find, at least that I've ever seen. You know, this guy is, you know, he speaks, at least he speaks. Seems to speak his mind, and it seems to not measure his words, and I think most people find that, frankly, refreshing. There's certainly, I guess you could say, stuff in his closet, you know, with the different marriages and the different things like that. But I don't think he seems to be too worried about that. He typically says that, hey, you know, I'm not perfect or whatever, but here's what needs to happen for the country, and we need things better than what we've got. And most Americans, just that little phrase, can agree with that big time.
Yeah, so do you support the Trump then, Kurt?
Well, here's what I support is, you know, I mean, even if, let's say tomorrow Hillary came out and said, look, you know, we've not been using the Constitution for a long time. We need to return to that document. We need to eliminate all these, anti or things that are against the constitutional, unconstitutional agencies. I mean, you and I would have, you know, we'd be like, what? Who's saying that? You know, and yet, on the other hand, we'd have to applaud her saying it. There'd, you know, certainly be a lot of questions like, did Hillary just say that? You know, but, you know, you gotta accept the good, no matter where it comes from. Many times you gotta ask yourself, wow, what caused this? And in Trump's case, in my opinion, here's what you've got. You've got an, I'm not saying he's old, you know, and everything, but he's, you know, he's looking at the, you know, some of his latter days, if you will. He's made plenty of money. It's not like, you know, he really is, oh man, if I could just make a few more bucks, then I could really get that car I've always wanted. You know what I mean? The guy's, I don't think he has those, you know, real needs, if you will. And yet, I think, you know, he likes the limelight, but he also, I think, has some love for the country and maybe even some love for, you know, what, children, grandchildren, maybe his family, et cetera. And maybe he's actually, in a kind of a strange way, doing what he feels that he can do to, well, make the world a little better place.
All right, so Kirk Crosby is in the Trump camp for the most part. And who would you vote for the most out of all that's out there, Kurt? I'm very skeptical of Trump, and my goal is not to down everybody. I give Trump credit for the good that he says. Again, my concern, though, is how genuine some of these people are, and my concern is if they have a track record of doing good for the American people. And with Trump, I just don't see it. Now, at least he's not an illegal alien, Kurt.
Yeah, and he is taking on that issue like, you know, you hardly see anybody taking it on, you know, any harder than he is. And, you know, that's one of the refreshing things is that, you know, instead of just beating around the bush and saying, oh, you know, maybe a little amendment here to the Immigration Reform Act or, you know, something, you know, he's just basically saying, wipe the thing clean. Let's just get this thing straightened out. We'll put a you know, wall on the border, and Mexico will pay for it. And I mean, you know, you're talking about some real, in my opinion, some real solutions to it, to the problems.
All right, and I'm kind of convinced that Donald's delivery on a lot of these issues, that there are legitimate points to. I concur, but it's so lightning bolt, so over the top that you almost can't focus on even the real issue. Take immigration.
But that's why he gets coverage, Sam.
Well, maybe. That's, or he gets coverage because he has a lot of money and he's an insider. Well, so the debate of why he's getting coverage is left up in the air is my point.
Well, at least I believe that, you know, the standard media, they want something that makes people watch, makes people listen, makes people read. And when there is some kind of a guy that's willing to maybe, like, you know, throw, well, rhetoric or, you know, caution to the wind, if you will, then that's a lot more, you know, it's kind of like the Jesse, what was his name?
Ventura. From,
A little bit like that. The reason the guy got the coverage was, you know, it wasn't just the standard politician. And, you know, they like to see that, and people kind of tune in for it, you know, don't they?
Yeah, well, I don't know why they get the coverage. I know this. I think that the people who are the most genuine about solutions for the country, even if they make bold statements, they don't get the coverage.
Yeah.
But Donald does, and you got to wonder why. And all I'm telling you is from my experience, again, I could be just out in the weeds. It could just be my own opinion. We'll take your calls if you have an opinion. 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. I'm not saying Kurt's wrong, and I'm not saying that I'm right. What I'm bringing up is concerns that I have for legitimate reasons. And here's what I see, Kurt. If the issue could really restore America, and the way it's being delivered and the solution really is on the table to fix America, it'll never be covered. Without absolute abuse to the point of shutdown, they will ignore you, they will ridicule you, they will mock you, they will whatever they got to do to make sure that it never, ever gets legs or gains ground. However, if you bring up something that they're fine with, even if it sounds good, they'll let you roll with it plenty. because they know full well that they got the end game in mind and they're playing you for a sucker. And you can kind of use that news gauge from he who owns the media makes the rules on that score. And so Donald Trump's getting plenty of coverage. Now, is he really bringing solutions to the table that can gain ground and restore America? And are they really going along because he's so popular and incendiary that they just love the coverage they're getting? No, because they don't care about the coverage they're getting if it goes against their creed, which is to destroy America, which is to become gatekeepers and control what hits the mainstream press. In my humble opinion, we don't see anything that really has gravity for solutions sustained in the media. They may be forced to cover it for a flash in the pan, but sustained in the media, never. We'll talk about it.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. So all I'm saying is in the media, anything that really would restore America, anything that really points to a true morality, anything that would make a difference for God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property, and all that we hold dear. Look, the mainstream press is not going to go along for any sustained effort. They will maybe flash in the pan, be forced to cover something here or there. But when it comes to anything that's good for America, they're off it. Anything bad for America, they're going to promote it. So that's part of the reason that I have this view of Donald Trump. Now, I look at a Donald Trump and say, you know, he's made a lot of money. He's done a lot of entertainment. He brings up a lot of good topics on occasion. I mean, he wants to know the truth on the birth certificate, for example. That's great. But I don't really look at any track record. If we were to make this guy president, I don't look at any track record, Kurt, of benefiting the American people, philanthropy-wise or otherwise, really. I don't see any solid, sustained effort. So I guess what I'm saying is, for me to even consider a guy that I can't see a track record in the public eye of doing good for America really gives me heartburn, to say the least. Why would I even consider electing him, even if he says a lot of good things? What in the last lifetime that you can remember, 10, 20, 30, whatever years you want to say, has Donald Trump really done for the American people, for the sacred cause of liberty, to restore life, liberty, and property, to protect God, family, country? What has he done for any of those things? And I just don't see it. And so when a guy like that jumps on the national stage with very incendiary content, with plenty of money, I just can't help but to say the mainstream press seems to love him. I mean, all the Fox hosts are already publicly backing him, it seems. What gives with that, and is there? What do you think? Has Donald done a lot of good for America, Kurt, for you and I, and for the country
as a whole? What I see here is just basically capitalism. When you know, let's just say for us, Sam, let's just pretend some, you know, maybe Larry Pratt. You know, all of a sudden we knew that he just came into a whole bunch of extra money, and you know, we might do some extra efforts to give him some increased coverage in the hopes that he might, hey, send a little bit our way. What I see is, you know, you see this same kind of thing, but it's just on a bigger stage when you talk about Fox or CNN or whoever it is. They're wanting to give him some coverage because they hope that either some of that money he's got will rub off, or some of the support that he's got will rub off on them. That means, you know, listeners or watchers or viewers or whatever it is will tune in because, you know, he's part of the program.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they love that on top of it all. But can you think of really anything Donald Trump's really done that would just be stellar for America?
Well, I have a hard time finding really anything that any of the candidates that are at least, you know, I mean, take Republican or Democrat, that I have a hard time finding anything that they've really done that, you know, fits into that area.
It's a good point.
You know, I mean, you know,
I think Scott Walker taking on the unions would qualify.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Rand Paul taking on the Federal Reserve would qualify. So there's a few exceptions, but for the most part,
those
I concur.
Those would be my top three of interest, you know, would have those two guys.
Scott Walker, Rand Paul, and Donald Trump.
Yeah. And the reason I'd have the Trump as part of it is because of the, you know, flamboyancy issue, or the, you know, willingness to be a little more frank even than,
you're right,
you know, Rand Paul and
Warren. Well, and I'm going to say this too. I give you my warnings about Donald Trump because I guarantee time will vindicate my position. But all I'm telling you is, at least he's bringing up the right things. I mean, the question is, would you rather have a thug? Okay, let's say there's two thugs, and at least one's bringing up the right thing, and the other one's not. Do you at least say, at least the one guy's bringing up the right thing? Yeah, you got to give credit where credit's due, and it might just backfire on the Donald and on the insiders, the left and right paradigm. The Hegelian dialectic, so to speak, because the American people might resonate with a given issue, Kurt, and take it out of the hands of their control. And our greater numbers could do that in any second. Okay? So even though that's their strategy, it could backfire on them, Kurt, with him saying the correct things. And without him saying any of those things at all, it'll never happen. And so, you know what? I'm going to give credit where credit's due and say Donald is saying a lot of the correct things, and it could backfire because the mainstream press wants to make it so incendiary that nobody else will touch it. But it might be that he strikes a chord of resonance within the American people, and then somebody like a Ron Paul or, you know, something could write an article, and then a Rand Paul could pick it up and roll with it, or a Scott Walker or somebody of that viewpoint. And they could literally say, look, Donald's extreme on this. However, here's the truth, and here's what we're going to do about it. And it could backfire, Kurt. We the people could take issues out of their hands and force it to end run around their gatekeeping agenda, for sure. So I don't want you to think that I'm down on the Trump and think that there's no value in anything that he's doing. That's not right at all. I think there's plenty of value in what he's doing, and he is saying the right things. And I hope that we can absolutely have a couple of these key issues backfire on the establishment. They might have floated it out with their agenda, but we might have ours. And our greater numbers could take issues away from them in about 2 seconds, Kurt. So there is value there. I don't want anybody to at all think that I don't think there's any value or that there's no redeeming opportunity here or anything else. I don't agree with that. Again, I'm not the guy that says America's going down. I say, hey, you know what? We have a lot of troubles, but we can save America, and this nation shall endure. So I'm pretty positive on things, but I want to make it very clear so that people don't think, oh, Sam, you are all for Trump. He sold us down the river. You thought he was the best thing since sliced bread, Sam, and you. No, no, no. I laid out my concerns about Trump. However, I am going to give credit where credit's due, and if he says the right things long enough, hopefully somebody will sit up and take notice, and hopefully our greater numbers will come to common sense on the issue, Kurt. We might actually provide a solution, and it might backfire on these people. I'll give you an example. Senate GOP leaders are kind of ticked off at Cruz, Kurt. But again, Cruz may not be constitutionally qualified to be president, but he's sure doing a lot of the right things as well. Like him or dislike him, we got to give him credit for a lot of the good that he does, Kurt, even if we believe Cruz might be an insider as well, right?
Well, yeah, that's a good point, Sam. You know, you've got at least some of the reports are saying that they took him to the woodshed, you know. In other words, now, if you don't know what that really means, and back in the old days, I mean, now, of course, it's criminal to do that. But in the old days, that's where you'd get a SWAT, is in the woodshed, you know. You'd get some kind of corporal punishment.
Yeah, and SWATing so they say different now, Kurt.
Yeah. Anyway, they say that the Senate Republican leadership rhetorically took Mr. Cruz, and of course they mention in here that he's the junior senator from Texas, to the woodshed.
Yeah, hold on, because in the Constitution I read there's a big difference between junior and senior senators, just so you know.
Yes, of course.
Not.
And they say he called the Senate Majority Leader, you know, the head bully in the Senate, in my opinion. They called him a liar.
Top thug.
Ted Cruz called him a liar. Now, people appreciate the, you know, frankness of somebody who calls a spade a spade. I guess they say Cruz was unbowed. You know, he didn't just, you know, bend over and say, okay, daddy. But he fired back right a little after he left the Senate floor, and he accused the Senate Republican leaders of marching in lockstep. You know, it's a little bit of Hitler-y, you know, kind of idea, with the Senate Democrats on such things as funding the Affordable Care Act. You know, what he's basically saying is, these were his words, they operate as a team, expanding Washington and undermining the liberty of the people. When he says stuff like that, people like you and me, Sam, and you know, most ordinary Americans go, duh. Then he went on to say, we've just seen something extraordinary on the Senate floor. The American people elected a Republican majority, believing that a Republican majority would be somehow different from a Democratic majority in the United States Senate. Unfortunately, the way the current Senate operates, there's one party. Then he says, the Washington Party, end quote. You know, now he got taken on a little bit more even by one of our favorite senators, Senator Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, we got some details in seconds, but I'm telling you right now, again, I might think Cruz is an insider. He may not be constitutionally qualified to be president of the United States. However, I know that when Hatch and Ted Cruz go head-to-head, I'm on the side of the old Tedster, that's for sure. I hope he gives Hatch the hatchet. All right, quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so Ted Cruz called Mitch McConnell a liar. And I guess the Senate went ballistic over it, and they all attacked Ted. Orrin Hatch even jumped into the mix. Before we get to Orrin Hatch's comments, though, Kurt assaulting Ted. Cruz, my question to you is this. What was the issue, and is Ted Cruz right? Is Mitch McConnell lying? Because, well, you know, we're after the truth here, Kurt.
At least, in my opinion, you know, these guys have lied to the American people so many times, you know. Like Ted Cruz says here, he says, hey, people voted for the Republicans so that they would go against, you know, what was up there, the Affordable Care Act, funding Planned Parenthood, you know, et cetera. And he says they operate as a team, expanding Washington and undermining the liberty of the people. That's what the Texas Democrat or Texas
He's right as rain on that score,
said.
Isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. And he says, you know, the way the current Senate operates, there's one party, the Washington Party. And, you know, I think you could expand it and say the House works the same with Boehner, you know, and crew.
So I couldn't agree
that's
more.
What you see there.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, is with us. Hi, Pete.
Howdy.
All right. Now, before we get started here, we're talking about this. Well, several things happening. One, you got Donald Trump in the news, and he's saying a lot of the right things, and I commend him for saying the right things. But the problem is, he's doing it in such a lightning rod way, or an incendiary way, to where it's hard to give him credit. You almost wonder if he's a plant to poison the well, so to speak. The debate's on. Trump, I don't really look at his life and see that he's done a whole lot of good for America and for liberty in the past, but he's certainly jumping in. They say he's such a big presence. The American people love him. The inside Republicans hate him. And the big battle is on with CNN and Fox, and Roger Ailes of Fox loves him and wants to back him, and so do most of the Fox hosts, but CNN's Rupert Murdoch and others are saying, you got to quit giving Trump coverage. And, well, there's so many fault lines being debated here. The Trumpsters, it's hard for me to decide that he's genuine and that he's real and that he'll really make a difference rather than just play the spoiler. At the same time, you got to give him credit for a lot that he's saying. If we would back off a little bit of the hyperbole and the rhetoric side of things or the incendiary nature of a comment, at the source, at the core, what he's saying is absolutely the truth. And that's why the American people love it. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, taxpayers do have a right to be concerned about Donald Trump's positions. And of course, on tax reform and fiscal policy, there are still a lot of questions. Prior to his becoming a Republican in all kinds of ways, he was saying that we needed to have a large surtax on incomes of above $1 million or more, perhaps keep the death tax alive. Now he's saying he wants to cut the top income tax rate in half. Well, that's a nice conversion, but there are still questions about what he believed in the past and how he changed his mind and why he changed his mind. Is that purely political, or is it a genuine conversion?
Well, and the question becomes this: if you cut the top bracket in half, I'm for reducing taxes, Pete Sett, but I'm not really for pitting one group against another. And what you got is then the Democrats will come back and say, see, you're just the rich cat. You're always for the corporate world. You're always for the extreme capitalist, and you just want to benefit the rich people at the expense of the middle class. And now all you got is a class warfare slash welfare discussion going on, and you're not really lowering taxes on everybody, right?
Yes, yes. And, of course, he actually criticized Steve Forbes, who was running for president back in the, I believe that was the 1996 campaign. And Forbes, of course, was the foremost proponent, still is, of a flat rate income tax to replace the current tax system. Some folks prefer the fair tax to that, but the point is that was a very comprehensive reform. Trump criticized him very, very harshly in a book that he wrote in the year 2000.
Well, and I'm going to criticize that plan as well because, hey, even if you had a postcard, it could just simply say on one line, how much did you make? And then the next line would say, send it in. So that simplicity doesn't impress me. The fact is, a income tax by nature of direct taxation violates principles of the Constitution. And that's the problem that I have with it, Pete.
Yes, and unfortunately, Donald Trump opposed it for all the wrong reasons. He thought that such a tax system was too easy on the wealthiest of Americans. But as you've said prior, you know, this isn't about trying to divide the American people and start a class war. And frankly, before he hit the campaign trail, and I'm talking about 10 or 15 years ago, Donald Trump was a very different
hardcore Democrat, wasn't he?
Taxes. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, Kirk Cosby, my co-host, brings up a wise point about this postcard tax or the flat tax idea, and that is this. It may not be perfect, it may not be constitutional, but we're already constitutionally way far afield, and at least it would simplify things, and at least it would make things more transparent, and at least it is pointing to a great degree in the right direction. Even though it's not spot on where we want to go, it's a whole lot better than what we've got. Kurt, is that a fair assessment? Do you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, and so many times we've lost our liberties simply by you know, these little incremental effects over the years.
You're right about that.
We need to take a lesson or learn a lesson from those who've stolen them to say, now let's move the ball in the other direction and get them back.
And I have to concur that Kurt's point has validity too, huh, Pete?
Yes, yes. And it's very vital for us to understand that, well, we can make some incremental gains through various types of tax reforms, and I'm all for even a very basic simplification procedure. There's been some outlined where every 4 years, private sector experts would go through the tax code line by line, produce a package of simplifications. Congress would vote it up or down, much in the way they used to vote on closing military bases. You know, vote for the whole slate or vote against the whole slate, but you can't tinker with the slate. Hey, that might be a great procedure for tax simplification. Still, though, there's no substitute for something like the fair tax or some other very, very dramatically...
Or tariffs at the borders like the good Lord called for in the Constitution, and then you would have apportionment taxes where the state would collect your money based on your apportionment. You don't need a postcard. You don't need anything. You just simply roll out on the news, hey, for Utah, there's 300... I'm sorry, there's 3 million Utahns, and out of 3 million of, you know, 325 million people in the United States, your apportionment is $1,000 this year, and You know, you can pay monthly or whatever you do, send it to your state, and the state will send it to the feds with appropriate census-based apportionment taxes, only on good behavior for the feds. And now you got a little stick and a carrot for the feds to kind of fly, right? You've also got apportionment taxes which are not direct in nature, that don't gather personal information, that don't require to swear under the penalty of perjury or any of those kind of things. The IRS is flat out gone, and it's constitutional that way. See, that's what I would support, Pete.
Well, and you've definitely hit the nail on the head there in making the feds a lot more accountable to the citizens and their state governments.
But it's also constitutional by nature, too, because it doesn't take any gathering of any personal information except for an enumeration of the people,
yes.
Right? It's not a direct tax is the point. It doesn't penalize my income. It doesn't penalize my expenditures. It just simply, hey, that's what it is. And what that number would have to be, I don't know. Any idea what that number would have to be?
Well, of course, right now, if we wanted to have the same-sized federal government, it would be about $3.5 trillion total out of the entire country. And I don't think that that's right, though. I think that in a scaled-back federal government that operates within the Constitution, we're talking less than half that amount.
What would I have to do then? $3.5 trillion divided by 325 million?
Yes. Yes.
Ooh.
So that would be a lot of money, over $10,000 a piece. So we would have an incentive to get the federal government's proper role down to the size that our framers of the Constitution originally intended.
$3,500,000,000, is that what it is?
About, yes, yes, approximately.
Divided by 325.
You'd
have to set in $10,700 a person.
Grand. Yeah, and so you just add it up, and the states would collect it, I guess.
Yeah, so, Kurt, you could just send in, like, you know, what would you send in, like, you know,
million, well, if we had the whole family,
120
you know,
grand or something,
it would be 13 times that, 130, 140 grand yearly, I guess.
Yeah, see, know? Kurt would be okay, man. You'd be all right. You'd get that done, no problem. Even half that's not even sustainable, Pete Sepp.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. And there's the biggest question. What constitutionally should the federal government be doing? Providing for a common defense, something that keeps the country safe from foreign aggression. The enumerated powers also call on things such as coining and minting money, conducting commerce with other nations, maintaining a postal system. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have to run it. They just have to make sure that there's some kind of communication among Americans, maintaining an army and a navy.
All right, hold on. Quick pause. Stay right there. Pete Sepp with us, NTU.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Pete Sepp, NTU, National Taxpayers Union, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Sam pushed for an apportionment tax because I believe that's constitutional. I believe you wouldn't have to abuse the American people, and we already see that it's absolutely unsustainable at $10,700 for every man, woman, and child of the country. And so it's not sustainable. That doesn't even count your local or your state taxes either, by the way, folks. It would just be through the stratosphere. Anyway, to make a long story short, the listener TZ emails in and says, hey, an apportionment tax would tax the productive on those on the productive and those on welfare in the state equally. And that's right, and that's the way it should be. That's the point, is that we don't want to penalize income. We don't want to penalize people for doing well in America and having the American dream. That's not what it's about. It's about paying the proper role of government for the protection of life, liberty, and property. Okay, and that apportionment is equal for the poor and rich alike. And the number could be very small if we were to appropriately look at the constitutional requirements of a limited republic. And so, Pete Sepp, you're kind of mentioning that, hey, paying for the Army, the only problem is the Constitution says they can't fund an Army for more than 2 years. So that sucker would be shut down, and that's why the American people would be armed, as the good Lord intended as well. We have a right to self-determination. We have a right to make sure the government doesn't get too big and bloated and belligerent and eventually attack the American people. And so we wouldn't even have an Army, would we, Pete Sepp?
Well, we could have a volunteer force, something like the original concept of a militia. I know.
Amen to that. I support that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Second Amendment expert, but I know there have been a lot of writings about how the founders considered the militia to be literally the entire able-bodied population, and that much like the Swiss have a model today where every citizen has some kind of working military-style firearm with a few exceptions.
Yeah. So there you have it. All right, I guess Ted Cruz is in the mix now, and I guess he's battling with Mitch McConnell. Ted called Mitch a liar, and everybody's going ballistic about this. Man, we've just got so many things to talk about. None of them really would restore the country, huh, Pete?
Well, and unfortunately, the whole dust-up between Senator Cruz and Senator McConnell involved one of the more important tests of Republican leadership, which was to allow the U.S. Export-Import Bank to stay dead. They couldn't even do that. You know, this is the incredible part to me, Sam. I'm witnessing this, that the Export-Import Bank, which is basically a taxpayer-backed lending institution for big companies to go sell their products overseas, sometimes foreign companies to buy some of the products we make here, so it's a double-way subsidy. Well, the charter for the bank actually expired about a month ago now, and a little less than a month ago, and all Congress had to do was simply let it stay dead. The charter would have wound down the entire functions of the bank, and eventually taxpayers would be free of it once the loans were wiped off the books. Congress couldn't even do that. They had to have an affirmative vote, and Republican leadership, unfortunately, allowed this to happen by ushering through an amendment to reinstate the bank's charter. And that's bad news. I mean, it's bad enough to stand by and watch government grow, but then to actually actively participate in making it grow bigger, that's even worse.
What do we do now? Are the Republicans really going to do anything? You know, we had high hopes when they got elected last November, then they didn't do anything, but we're like, well, they haven't really taken power yet. Give them a break. And then they took power, and it's like, well, they're shocked that they actually have power. Give them a chance to talk about it. But, man, they've been doing nothing but selling us down the river over and over and over and over and over. At some point, shame on me for believing. Shame on me for even giving them a chance. It's where do we go from here? Are they just biding their time for the 2016 bid? But they've shamed us too many times, Pete.
Yeah, too many of them are. I think what we're going to have to do now is take our victories where we can get them. For example, we can try and lower or restrict this crazy ethanol mandate that the federal government is requiring gas stations and others to accept this ethanol fuel and blend it into gasoline, even when it could do damage to engines, when it's environmentally irresponsible and it's fiscally irresponsible. We can do something and push back against that, because we actually have allies on the left who hate the renewable fuels mandate for a lot of reasons. So maybe we have to make strange bedfellows partnerships here to win the issues for taxpayers that need winning. But we got to do it. If we're not going to get the kind of cooperation we need from people who call themselves fiscal conservatives but don't always act that way, we've got to find new ways to get around the hurdles.
Amen to that. What's the biggest thing we need to be focused on right now from the taxpayers' union position? What's going on? What can we do? One of the things I know is they're trying again to slam dunk a sales internet tax. That's scary as all get out too.
Yeah. There's actually two types of taxes we have to worry about with the internet. There's one that might be instituted on internet service, internet access, much in the way that you pay taxes on your wireline or wireless telephone bill. There's a federal ban in place on states and localities from taxing your internet service. That ban expires on September 1. They're getting very, very close, and we need to be worried about, once that ban expires, states and localities are going to start slapping taxes on internet service, potentially 10, even 15, 17% even, because that's the rate on wireless service. But we also have the internet sales tax to worry about, a whole different type of tax that would occur on e-commerce transactions. We're already paying use tax, or we're supposed to, on a lot of these transactions, but there's a bill in Congress to give the states much broader powers to force businesses to collect those taxes, and more importantly, to subject businesses to other states' auditing procedures. You know, that would be just awful to think. A business in Utah who sells to a customer in New York would suddenly become subject to all of New York's sales tax auditing and enforcement procedures. That would be pretty horrible.
And, ladies and gentlemen, let's not think this is just some kind of a joke or some kind of a pie-in-the-sky idea. This is real. In other words, I'm not saying they're going to accomplish this if you and I stand up against it, but this is really literally on the table. And states are pushing hard to get this done because they want a piece of the pie is the problem. All right, so we've got to look out for the internet service and sales taxes. What other big key things do we got to keep an eye on here?
Well, in addition to the ethanol mandate, when actually the Environmental Protection Agency is accepting comments on this ethanol fuel mandate through the end of today. And so NTU has a petition online that people can sign, but if they want to act, they've got to act before the close of business Eastern time here in Washington, D.C. So anyone who hates this horrible renewable fuels mandate, this imposition from the federal government on consumers and states, they've got to act today to sign the petition.
So the headline up there on the website says, please urge the EPA to get food out of the fuel tank by lowering the ethanol mandates. Sign the petition today, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, this is a critical one, folks, because I've always mentioned that this whole idea was harebrained from the beginning. People are going to drive around hungry, aren't they?
Yes.
Horrible.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately so. It's converting corn into fuel. It's terribly inefficient, raises food prices, it doesn't do much good for the environment. Some environmentalists say it does worse because of all the water and the damage that growing the crops causes, and very negligible improvements in air quality as a result of blending it in the gasoline, damages motorcycle and other engines. This is a lose-lose-lose for taxpayers all around, and we have a chance to force the EPA to pull back.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to keep an eye on. Are there really champions? You know, some say Rand Paul's a champion. I know you can't really back certain candidates, but you can tell me from a tax point of view, who would be the most tax-friendly candidate on both sides of the aisle at this point, sir?
Well, right now, we are actually evaluating the platforms of all of the presidential candidates. Some have very, very little detail in them. I think that's on purpose, by the way. Donald Trump is one of them, has virtually no stances on the issues on his campaign website. But those who do were able to cost them out and say, look, if all of their proposals were enacted into law, what would happen to federal expenditures? Well, with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Rand Paul, from what we can tell of all of their proposals, they would make serious reductions in federal spending. Rand Paul, above $300 billion a year, which is quite exemplary. That would pretty much wipe out the annual federal deficit at this point. That's an encouraging sign. We could, of course, go much further than that, as you and I were discussing very recently, a few minutes back, about restoring the constitutional limits on the federal government's role. That could reduce expenditures even further.
Well, we got our work cut out for us. That's to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. You got to elect those who are taxpayer friends, that's for sure. Because really, the buck stops with the money. If we restrict the money supply to Washington, D.C., then they'll have to live within their means, and that's what we need to push for. NTU is one of the great organizations at the helm of that effort. They have programs for local people to help you financially and with guidance and direction and support and blueprints of how to get it done. National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Thanks, Pete.
My pleasure. Take care.
There he goes. Pete Sepp doing a great job for Sam and Kurt. I'm telling you right now, a lot of things are happening. A lot of things are good. You going to help us? Would love it. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website for live and on-demand radio and more. After all, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can restore America. This nation shall endure.